Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's been a real delight to be here with you this year. I think back, I can't help but think back to my years of Bible school, roughly half of my lifetime ago. I'm not sure how that looks to you looking ahead. And I don't know if I remember accurately thinking back to how it looked to me. But I never saw myself at a place like this when I was where you are. I wanted to be a useful person, and I think we all have that in us. We want to be a useful person, someone that's meaningful in some way. But we don't always see what that means. And I think that is an important aspect of faith, in just grasping a hold of the path that God has for us in life, even when we don't know what it is. That's faith. This morning, I'd like to talk about a different subject just a bit. One of the aspects of Jesus' time here on earth that has always stood out to me is his power to heal. And I've wondered at times, maybe when there's sickness or disease, what would it be like if we could invite Jesus over and he could heal? And tomorrow, the situation would be just night and day different. As we were singing in chorus, which I find very enjoyable and meaningful, there's been a few phrases that have stuck out to me in the song, "Is He Worthy?" It's those the phrases that go like this: "Is anyone worthy?" And especially, "Is anyone whole?" What does it mean to be whole? Well, in the song, it responds fairly immediately, "The Lion of Judah." And we know Jesus is the healer. But I ask the question, do I need healing? Do you need healing? Do I want to be healed? So I'd like to think a little bit about things we need to be healed from. We think of wounds, and physically in our bodies we experience wounds at different times, and it can be from minor scratches to life-threatening trauma. Wounds hinder or stop our productivity, our ability to function normally. Wounds are painful and often messy. Sometimes the messiness is in obvious ways. It's getting splattered all over. And sometimes the messiness is hidden. You think of internal bleeding with its very sobering implications. You could think of concussions. There's a messiness there that it's not maybe even obvious until sometime later. Another aspect of the messiness of wounds is the high potential for infection, and then just the whole pus oozing mess that can be. What about wounds in our spirit, wounds in our hearts? I think a lot of those same characteristics parallel there. There's a wide range of seriousness. Some things hurt us for a day and we forget them tomorrow. Other things go with us. And with every move, we feel that stab of pain. With every interaction with other people, we're reminded of what happened to us. Wounds in our spirit can also be messy, and sometimes that gets splattered all around. Other times, maybe it's a hidden thing, and people around us don't know there's anything wrong. And wounds in our spirit are at a high risk to become infected by attitudes of bitterness, holding grudges, attitudes of blaming other people for who we are, making excuses, being a victim. Jesus said, "It is impossible but that offenses will come." But he says, "Woe unto him through whom they come." There are going to be things that come into our lives that have a high potential to make us stumble. That's what that means, the offense. A cause for stumbling, a snare, something to trip us up. And Jesus warns us to be careful not to be someone who either intentionally or unintentionally sets those traps or makes occasion where other people stumble. But what if we do trip over something that someone says or does to us and are hurt in the process? Or maybe it's not something someone else has done. Maybe we just struggle with accepting things about ourselves, who God has made us to be. The question comes to us at times like that. Do I want to be healed? Do I want to be a person who is whole? And on the surface, that seems like a dumb question. Who wouldn't want to be? I'd like to look at Luke 18. There's a question in this passage that has always kind of perplexed me just a bit. But first of all, I'd like to read Luke 18, beginning at verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." So the question that perplexed me is, why did Jesus ask him what he wanted? I mean, wasn't that obvious? Who that is blind wouldn't their sight be their first and foremost desire? Why did Jesus ask him? Are we ever in a situation where we hang on to our disability or our excuse to not be productive? Our excuse to not function normally? Our excuse to be the victim. This blind man's livelihood depended on his blindness. He sat there and begged, and people out of compassion gave because they felt sorry for him, because he was blind. If he's healed, what are the implications? He needs to start functioning normally. He needs to start being productive. There's work involved. There's responsibility to be taken. I wonder if that was behind Jesus' question. What would you want me to do for you? So how do we find healing? I'd like to turn to another verse in James 5. James 5 and verse 16. James writes here, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." So he says a number of things here. He says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, so that you can be healed, so that you can be whole, so that whatever's broken can be mended. And so I'd like to look at these aspects just briefly. First of all, in dealing with a wound or something that's broken in our lives, it must be cleaned. You can't just stitch shut a wound. It has to be cleaned first. And I see that as the confessing. How do we confess? Well, we say words, right? We get it out. It's audible. It says, confess your faults. This literally means a side slip. And the confessing is to acknowledge or to agree fully. So in other words, just to own it. This was my side slip. The side slip can be an unintentional error or a willful transgression. So just because we didn't intend to do this thing or to make a mistake, to sin, just because it wasn't our intention, we still own it. We agree fully. We own it. This is, in the end, what I did. This is the attitude I was holding. I am holding. Even if someone else's action is what initially stirred up that response in me, it is I own my attitude. It says, pray for one another. Pray that Jesus' blood would wash and cleanse. Clean the wound up. Clean out the infection that may be festering in there. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill, to be the healer, to transform. Note that this is in the context of one another. We don't do this privately off by ourselves. We do this in community, on some level or another. Community, Jesus said, community is as small as two or three that are gathered in his name. He said, there I'll be. And some of this is going to happen on that scale. Some of this may need to be on the broader scale of our local community. But the context is one another. We confess to one another. And we pray with one another and for one another. So healing happens in community. Healing also happens when we open, or another condition is that we open our hearts to one another. We can be physically a part of a community, and that's as far as it goes. We are closed off. We're like a walled entity within a community. And so we have to break down the wall, open the door to our heart. Healing happens when we bow with one another and ask for Christ to make us like He is. Thinking back to that song, "Is anyone whole?" And the response, Jesus is. What did He do? Not in spite of being whole, but because of being whole. He gave Himself. He gave Himself to reconcile us to God. In essence, He gave Himself to bring healing and wholeness to humanity. One more passage, 2 Corinthians 5. We've been in this passage some in the last few days. And I'd like to look at it once more. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We see here the process of becoming whole. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Is there a responsibility that goes with being whole? Is it a responsibility that we intuitively sense and understand when we consider whether we want to be healed? Do we know that there's an implication to being a normally functioning person who's able to be productive? And are we tempted to duck back behind our problem? I can't do that for whatever reason. Maybe just because I don't like the work I see, the struggle, the sacrifice. Do you dare to ask to be healed? Wholeness is really about letting go of every single dream. Every desire. Wholeness begins with saying, "Lord, I give it all to you. My pain, my excuses, my blaming others for how I am, my selfishness. I want to embrace the life you choose for me." Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I'm reminded of the quote that I heard years ago, and I don't know who to attribute it to, but I think it's true. Give your best to God, and He will give you His better.